Israel who does wondrous things. For those of us who are experienced with the work of God in our own lives, our psalm this morning can be a bit of a lament, can't it? As we know, it was God's intent that His chosen people would live under His mighty hand alone. The people of Israel, whom God had set apart from all other nations surrounding them, would not be like those other nations in that they would not have a king. They would be ruled by God Himself from on high. But as so often happens when humans are in the equation, that wasn't good enough for the people of Israel. They didn't want to be different, and so they cried out for a king from one of their own, a human king, to rule them, to take up for them, to support them in times of trouble. Even after the people were warned about the realities of having a human king, they continued to press their case, and finally God relented. I'm reminded of the letter to the Romans, where we are told that God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. God takes our mistakes, friends, and weaves them into the fabric of His kingdom, so that the evil will eventually be redeemed to good. And this is just what happened. The Israelites received a king, sure enough, and the troubles began soon enough, just as God had warned them, just as it had to happen when humans remove God and replace Him with an earthly power. It's not so different in 2010. And yet what we see here is a prayer in our psalm today, a prayer for the king, and we certainly do well to reread this portion of the psalm as we continue in our preparations for Advent. We pray the psalm, and for what are we praying? Are the hopes of those who seek to live a life worthy of the King of Kings any different from the hopes of a people 850 years before the birth of Christ? For what kind of king do these ancient peoples await? They've had enough. They've had enough of human kings and their own brand of rule. From the very first line of our psalm, the author cries out for a king with the justice and righteousness of God. Justice and righteousness in a king who rules as if God Himself is on the throne. As if God Himself sees the shape of the country and stoops down to realign priorities. The people have had enough of power plays and supposed servants who enrich themselves at the expense of what is commanded in the law of Moses. The people of Israel hearkened back to the prophets to pray for the mighty hand of God and that it would be upon them so that all who were in need would be satisfied. The people of Israel were ancient, but not foolish, even though sometimes we may dismiss them as such. Even the chosen people knew that they would experience hard times, even with God at the helm. The ruin of crops, the death of loved ones, the curse of having everything one has worked for go up in flames. Even the oppression of misanointed kings. But to face these things, to face these kinds of things without a God-fearing leader who cared would be too much to bear, even for a people of God. You see, the ancient Israelites, they stood firm and waited for the Almighty to send someone who could be what they needed in a king. To be sure, there were a few kings in the history who came along who were flawed, of course, but at least they had a veneer of holiness, of righteousness. The real issue, of course, was the instrument of this holiness and righteousness. No matter how good the king, no matter how much time he spent on his knees in prayer to God Almighty, he was still human and therefore still flawed. It is with this background that we hear the voice of John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness. It was John who knew what was to come, who had waited along with the people of Israel for the one true Messiah to come, the one who would unite what the people of Israel had called for with what God had wanted for his people all along. It was John the Baptist who had, of course, lived with the prophecy his father was given in the Holy of Holies at the temple by the angel Gabriel himself. It was John the Baptist who would take it to heart that the Lord himself was coming to rule. God in Christ was to be the King of Israel. The psalm today ends with the acknowledgement that it is in fact God alone who does wondrous things. And God did in fact do something wondrous. The psalmist was pining for a God-filled king to rule the land. God had something so much better in store for the world than a mere human king. God came himself. Of course, we look back on the psalm and we see how only the one true Messiah, the Lord Jesus, could fulfill the hopes and dreams of the people of God. And so later today, I ask that you in fact go back and reread these words of the psalmist and see how it is the Lord Jesus who comes to fulfill them. Who else but Jesus, fully human, fully divine, could complete what the psalmist hoped for while offering to the people everything, everything that God had in store for them? This is the one for whom we wait. This is the one for whom we wait this Advent season. God in Christ Jesus is the only light in our world that does not pervert power and oppress. Think about that. Christ the Lord administers the same power that created the heavens and the earth, and yet with him there is peace, there is righteousness, there is blessing. But most importantly, there is reconciliation. There is forgiveness and purpose in life for those who believe and call upon his name. This Advent, let us, as St. Mark's, make known his glory that will fill and is now filling the whole earth. Let us be bearers of the divine message that in fact the Savior is coming. The one who alone does wondrous things. Will you pray with me? Merciful God, who didst send thy messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.